Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's the Luke and Pete Show, Monday the 25th of July, and I do hope you are keeping well. Pete Donaldson with you, joined by Luki Moa, Japan.
Yeah. Luke. Japan, what
Japan.
About
it? Something we didn't get to last week, last Thursday, when we were talking about the old batteries and stuff. A bloke in Japan has been arrested for disposing an unholy amount of batteries in his local canal. This guy,
he's
right?
He's not even emailed into us first.
What, say, to tell us how many batteries?
What brands they were? It just seems like a waste.
He is a man, I think he's Yamagata Prefecture, and I'm doing this all off the top of my bonds because I can't find the email. It wasn't an email, it was a news story.
Guy.
There he is, yeah, that guy.
Kyoto,
was it? Okay, yeah. So apologies there. He was a man who manages, get this, he gets through 50 batteries a day. 50 batteries a day. He's just got... He's set in his ways, Luke.
On one sex toy.
Well, he's charging his battery on his phone. I mean, I don't care how low voltage a fucking AA battery is. How are you managing to get through 50? Are you Bitcoin mining? Like, how are you getting through 50 batteries every single day? And he was caught throwing them in the canal at like 4:30 in the morning. That's where he felt comfortable disposing of his batteries. He jammed 50 of them in a PETA water bottle. Is it PETA? What is the plastic sort of bottle?
Call that if you want.
A polyurethane water bottle, and he's just filled it with AA batteries, and he's just hoying them in the canal. And he's they've discovered about five or six of these fuckers, and he's like, that's only a week's worth of his disposals.
Fucking hell.
And he's just throwing them in the canal.
The thing I took from the story was that how cheap batteries are in Japan.
Apparently,
they're the equivalent of about 50p for a pack of 12.
He's probably... Really?
Double A's, apparently.
What? That's not true, is it?
Apparently, you could buy the packs of 12 in 100 yen shops, which are all over Japan.
Okay.
You'd know better than me. I've not been to Japan.
I've been to a 100 yen shop, but I mean, that's insanely cheap. Yeah. I mean, I think the problem there is he's bought very cheap ones. Well, good ones.
That's going to be part of it. The video accompanying the story shows a load of plastic bottles with batteries in them. There's quite a few Panasonics in there. But what an amazing way to spend your time. He just inconvenienced himself in a massive way, isn't he? Get up at 4 in the morning.
People made the point that, like, you know, pretty much everywhere in Japan, certainly Kyoto, it's a big city. You could just go and get like a phone charger, like a rechargeable phone charger from a shop. Just get a couple of those, and it's actually cheaper than buying 50 batteries a day. Right.
And you said to me once that electric cars are effectively just the floors full of batteries.
Floors full of batteries. It's exciting, isn't it?
It's kind of odd.
It is kind of odd.
I feel like it'd be more advanced than that. Because I remember, I think it was Elon Musk, talking about how the future of energy for people's homes is just this big battery unit you stick on the wall of your house.
Yeah. And he has a lot of stuff, I don't know.
At the time when he said that, I didn't know how mad he was.
Yeah.
But at the time, it felt really interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because he was saying, like, if you optimize it and all the rest of it, you could just, that could be your power for a year kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, I mean, obviously, there's going to be loads of reasons economically why lobbying groups and all the rest of it are going to stop that happening.
Mm.
But I find the fact that he says stuff like that and then basically just chucks a load of batteries on the floor of a car quite disappointing. You know what I mean? It's like, I feel like there should be more to it than that.
Yeah, I just think they're more fixable, I suppose, if they're modular. And you just, I mean, can I show you this teardown of a 9-volt battery? You know, the normal smoke alarm batteries, the ones that you can lick.
I know what a 9-volt battery is, Pete. I've been on the show for a while.
Other people might not. So this guy is chopping apart a 9-volt battery. And I don't think you're across what is inside a battery of this magnitude.
No, I've never seen one inside.
It's just four. It's just 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Triple A's.
A little bit smaller than a triple A, but they're just modular.
I feel cheated. I feel absolutely cheated. That's unbelievable.
It's mad, isn't it?
So it's basically like the equivalent of 6 quadruple A's in one little square package.
Yeah.
Rectangular package.
And in some lithium batteries, like slightly smaller than double A for like specific purposes, they may need to be rechargeable or not. These little ones, if you cut them apart, they're just little kind of watch batteries all in serial.
This is blowing my mind to pieces. So what happens if you cut a little watch battery? There's a load of tinier batteries in that and they just get smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
That's fucking unbelievable.
Well, I'd like to make it clear that's not the case with the watch battery, but... That would be insane.
How do you know?
How do I know? I've never cut one apart.
You're in the pocket of big battery, yeah, little battery. Peter, on the Thursday show, we did promise our listeners that today we would do an email special.
Okay.
We've started with a little couple of battery stories, which I think is absolutely fine.
Cool beans.
But now we're going to get into the email situation.
Right,
so hello at lukeandpeter.com is the email address if you'd like to be part of one of these sporadic email specials.
Okay.
We're doing it because we haven't read any emails out for a while because we have had too much stuff to talk about, I suppose. And we are, at our very core, quite undisciplined broadcasters. So that's why this happens. So I'm going to start off with the first email, Peter. I'm going to read it because it features someone that you don't like.
Okay.
And I'd like to, obviously, I'd be interested in your reaction to this. And we've got some great stuff coming up. But this first one is from Chris, who says, hi, Luke and Pete. Years ago, you were looking for listeners to share their stories about celebrity encounters in toilets.
Mm.
It wasn't years ago, was it? That wasn't that long ago, I don't think. And then Chris starts off with a dig. I don't remember this being particularly fertile ground. So I didn't send my story in before. But now it's come up again. I thought I'd get in touch.
Oh,
thanks, Chris.
I'm lucky.
It all takes place in one of Pete's former hangouts, the Groucho.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go to the Groucho anymore, do
I'm
you?
I'm unrepentant. I put my membership on hold, never going to go back. But I'm scared to tell them I'm not going to come back.
It's not convenient for you, right?
It's not convenient. It's not financially viable. Yeah.
And it's full of absolute wankers.
Full of wankers.
Yeah. One less wanker.
One less wanker now.
Anyway, Chris...
This place has got better.
Atmosphere's changed. Chris says he was invited along some drinks with a New York art dealer friend and a couple of fellow London artists. And then he brackets, actually, now I remember why I didn't send the story in, because it's really poncy and I live in Yorkshire and that sort of thing just doesn't go down well now. Fair enough. After a few drinks, the call of nature came and I visited the little gentleman's room, all fairly ordinary in function and procedure. However... The gentleman I urinated with allowed me the opportunity to deliver a killer line that I would never get the chance to do again. Once I had returned to the group, I announced with no subtlety, I have just seen cocks in the toilet. I received looks of confusion and a little pity. And once I had their attention, I continued the sentence, Professor Brian Cox, too much amusement and mild laughter and a story to tell the grandkids. Thanks for your comforting company and distraction during life's ups and downs, not only during lockdown. Now, Chris, before I get Pete's reaction to this, may I venture that what you probably should have done to make that joke better is just left that out there and had the bravery and confidence to wait for Brian Cox to come out.
Oh, do it in front of him.
No, and then people would have seen it and they would have made the connection themselves.
That time, you've got to be in the right
part
of the conversation to be able to jump in there. You've got to be able to deliver the line under pressure.
It's higher risk.
Yeah, it is.
It is much higher risk.
What if the waiter comes over and asks whether you want some Twiglets?
Not now.
Not now.
And Brian Cox, of course, could have come out and turned and gone the other way.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't have landed. So fair enough, he went for the safe option. I think it's a good story and a good joke nonetheless. But I think he could have shot for the moon there.
If you slide,
something Brian Cox would have liked, presumably.
Certainly, yeah. His little testicles are like two little earths. They're all blue and green.
I remember you having some pretty strong opinions on Professor Brian Cox.
I don't know, I just can't be arsed with men like him. Just can't be arsed.
Yeah. Men like him, what do you mean? Just clever.
Just men who are everywhere, all the time, doing everything. And everyone's very excited about them they get 6 months and then they're just everywhere. And they never go away.
Yeah. Youngest ever professor in the UK.
Say again?
Youngest ever professor in the UK.
Good on him.
Doesn't mean you should get your own TV show.
Exactly.
It puts me in mind of the comedian Bill Burr.
Right.
Where he talks about this, but he talks about Neil deGrasse Tyson, who's kind of a similar bit in the US.
Yeah, yeah.
And he says, I'm not having him. And the guy's speaking. It's like an interview on a podcast or whatever. And the host is going, why aren't you having him? He said, because... You never see that guy talking to another scientist. He's talking to us fucking idiots.
Exactly.
He could be saying anything. No one questions him. I've never seen him in a conversation with another actual scientist. And until I do, I'm not listening. And Brian Cox is kind of the same, right? Because he's this public understanding of science guy.
Yeah.
And it really cuts to the core of how we operate as human beings, because really, anything we assume to be true and that we accept as true, anything, even stupid shit like 2 + 2 = 4, someone says to you why, you can't say why. No, you can't explain it. So you're trusting. It's the same with things like climate change or all this other stuff. Of course, like, you know, some people will know it's complete, the data behind it, but no one can honestly say, generally, the man on the street can't say they know the data.
Or there's a lot of trust there, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And so Brian Cox is important for that reason, but that's not why you hated him before. I'll remind you of why you said you hated him before, because you said he looked like he was wearing a death mask of his own face all the time.
Yeah, yeah. He looks like he's just had a, you know, a peeling.
Yeah.
I mean...
He can't help that, can he?
If you cut him in half, though, like, just millions of tiny cocks. It's weird, it is.
There's a couple of tiny cocks in this studio right now.
It certainly is. Patrick in South Dakota. the twin cities of Minnesota are nicknamed such because of the comparably sized cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, about 10 miles apart, separated by the Mississippi River. Wazza was in St. Paul this weekend to watch DC United play Minnesota United, looking mostly relieved not to be in court. Minnesota's standing supporter section is called the Wonder Wall, and they sing Wonder Wall after every home win. It is inexplicable. That's not the word I would use, Patrick, but thank you for your message.
That is funny, isn't it?
Yeah, I like it.
I wonder what I've never heard of anyone from South Dakota before. I wonder what it's like there.
Yeah,
South Dakota is. Do you know what the famous monument in South Dakota is, Pete?
Is it like one of those big giant balls of twine that some villagers decide to make?
Yeah, it is, yeah. Next
is
email.
It, is it? Yeah.
No, it's Mount Rushmore.
Oh, of course, yes. Fair, Mount Rushmore. Fair. Very square state.
Yeah.
It's got to be up there as one of the squarest next to Wyoming.
Do you feel disappointed when you see how square the borders are in some US states?
Yeah. I mean,
like it should be more natural.
Yeah, I mean, Montana's a joke. Oh, no. Montana. Where does Montana end? Montana's just bleeds right into Idaho. What are you doing there?
It's right out there. No, there isn't. There will be a border. I mean, I'm not sure that anyone on earth has ever cared about the border between Montana and Idaho. but I'm pretty sure it does exist.
But it's like Wyoming is completely bloody square. I mean, that's just magnificently square. And it intersects Yellowstone. How do you mark that out in Yellowstone?
Do you remember that email we had about where there was a situation where, from some kind of weird reason, I think it was in Yellowstone National Park, you could technically commit a murder in that exact spot and no one would take jurisdiction responsibility
for it. That's true, yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway,
I mean, if you thought you were going to get whacked, you wouldn't get in the car, would you?
Speaking of that, by the way, I watched a fucking brilliant documentary on Channel 4.
Right.
So, I got so frustrated. So, I am a man, I make no bones about this, I am a man who every 3 months on average will watch every episode of Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares.
Right, okay. Yeah.
But All Four's business model online is absolutely obscene. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Okay.
It serves up the most unbelievable amount of adverts you've ever seen in your life. Right?
They seem to be longer adverts as well.
It's fucking mad. It must not be governed by the ad minutage law in broadcasting.
Did you not think it's more exquisite because you get a little timer, which you don't normally, you didn't used to get with, obviously, adverts.
Yeah.
But the
timer annoys the shit out of me.
Yeah, because you know you could be, it really does, yeah, it annoys the shit out of me. But if it wasn't there, I think you'd find the adverts more, okay.
3 minutes at the start of an episode.
Yeah.
3 4-minute breaks in the episode.
Yeah.
So there's 4, 8, that's 15 minutes of adverts for a 40-ish minute show.
That's why I'm downloading stuff that's fats illegally. I'll say it now.
That's a personal opinion. What I did is I did what they exactly wanted me to do, the bastards. I now pay $3.99 a month for no ads.
Okay.
Yeah. There's loads of stuff on there.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I thought to myself, $3.99 a month is expensive if I'm just watching Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares once every 3 months. So I need to do a deep dive. I need to get in there, see what's going on. And I found this documentary called Murder in the Alps. Have you heard of it?
No.
Incredible story. Incredible story. And I won't spoil you, but I'll give you the premise.
Is that the one where there's like a car?
A family are killed.
I was talking about this last Friday with somebody, weirdly.
A family are so the mother and father are killed, a random cyclist is killed, and the two daughters survive. Horrific situation, but it looks like an execution, like a hitman style thing. In the middle of a quiet town in the Alps. And the family are British, they're from Surrey, and it's about the investigation. I would recommend it to anyone.
I was talking to one of the journalists who were out there
Oh, really? Because there were loads of journalists. Yeah. Was that who you were talking to about?
Yeah,
it?
Yeah.
It wasn't the Mirror guy, was it?
No, it was Mark Edmonds who did the Bernie Stack show.
Oh, he was on that as well, was he?
He was yeah,
on that case
yeah,
as well.
Quite a few.
Did he think it was fascinating as well?
Yeah. He's
crazy case.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane.
I won't say anything else because I don't want to give it away. But it's well worth a watch. Next email, Daniel. How far are we? Do we need to do an ad break? No, we'll do this email first.
Right.
Daniel, hi to you, Daniel. He says, "Eden lads, long time listener, first time emailer. I am emailing regarding a school injustice that happened when I was in year 8.
It still hurts, still burns.
He says, I'm still working my way through your back catalogue. I'm on episode 194, which according to producer Rory was almost 3 years ago. So we'll not find out if you read my email for some time. We're reading it now. So you're going to have quite the wait until you hear it, but you are going to hear it. While at school in IT, me and my friends happened across a fake porn pic of Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. He's written Christine Aguilera.
Yeah.
It's Christina Aguilera.
Yeah.
And a dildo. Which he spelled correctly.
I think he has spelled. Oh, have I read Aguilera. It wrong?
That's on me. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Daniel, I'm very sorry about that. Okay. I will start the sentence again. While at school, in an IT lesson, me and my friends happened across a fake porn pic of Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera and a dildo. We were supposed to make a music poster and decided we would add pics of famous singers. Innocent motive, I swear. While searching for pics of Britney Spears, we happened across the offending picture, which involved two women and the photoshopped heads of the two singers. Needless to say, we were beside ourselves and grabbed all the other lads in class to have a look. The lesson ended and we thought nothing of it until the next day. One of the lads in our group then went home, printed it off full size and full colour, and then carried it into school the next day. This is classic banter. Classic school banter. This was fine until one of the teachers proceeded to find it in a PE locker that very same day and call our entire class in for interrogation. She was absolutely terrifying, and we folded like a deck of cards as she proceeded to inform us how horrified her mother would be for her to have seen it. This resulted in a letter home to my parents, which I've attached, with me alongside the other lads being placed in isolation, where the only means of entertainment was to play Connect Four with the teacher. My dad was very angry, or so he told me, and marched up to school to confront them on the basis they failed to protect their delicate son from harmful content. It's a great dad move. Upon arrival at the school, he was asked to wait next to the staff room where he heard the teachers all having a laugh at our expense. Needless to say, their laughter subsided when my dad strode in and informed them it was his son they were laughing at and proceeded to lecture them on their failure to protect children from harmful content online. When he got home, I thought the punishment would pass with me being an innocent party, but I was still in isolation and I was grounded for a week. Over the rest of my childhood, my family still referred to me as getting in trouble as an oops, I did it again moment. And the lesson is, if you find such images, keep them at home and don't enlarge and print them off in full colour.
Yeah, that's bare minimum, isn't it?
My wife finds the story hilarious and has the letter from the school framed on her desk, and I can confirm the image is still available online for research purposes. I hope you both will and love the show. So anyway, I'll read the email very quickly. Dear Mr. and Mrs. Jones, I'm writing to you to confirm the contents of a conversation we had on Wednesday evening, 4th December. During the morning of Wednesday, 4th December, I was called to the PE department, where it was clear that a number of boys had been looking at a pornographic picture that had been printed from the internet. This is dated the 5th of December 2002, by the way, so still very early in the internet's life. The boys were not being forthcoming in admitting to their teachers who was responsible. As a result, I spoke to the class, and one boy put up his hand and admitted that he had found the picture by a bin in school and had been showing it around. He later altered that admission, keen to tell the truth, and informed me that it was not in fact correct, and he had printed the picture off at home, brought it into school, and shown it to a few of his friends. The boy had accessed this site in school with your son Daniel during a lesson when they were looking for information on Britney Spears. The pornographic site came up and neither child reported this to the member of staff. The other boy then went home and decided to print it off and bring it to school. Clearly this is a serious situation, as material of this kind is totally unacceptable and must not and should not be ever be brought into school. Daniel understands this, and I found him to be honest and truthful in relation to this matter. Grass. He was keen to apologise to me and for me to understand that he had made a stupid mistake and did in fact now realise how serious the circulation of material can be. He also understands that he should have reported this to a member of staff. However, Daniel realises that because he was keen to outline his involvement from the beginning and provided me with enough detail, blah, 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 etc., etc., letter home from school about a porn pic, Pete Donaldson.
It's good stuff. And, still available. I mean, just choose better heads, guys. If you're going to do this sort of thing, just choose better heads. She looks like she's being tickled.
I also think that should the school bear some responsibility for that? How have they not even got Safe Search on at school?
Yeah, but it might have been like the wild, like, you know, back in the day when the wild, you know, you could just sort of, yeah. 2002. Oh, okay, yeah. Was it? Okay, right. Well, that, yeah. I mean, that was, it was like the Wild West out there, I suppose. It was probably much easier to find that sort of thing. But yeah, an astonishing bit of work from the teachers.
I could never be a teacher because I could never type that letter. I could not bring myself.
The letter just needs to go, oh, come on, mate.
Yeah.
That's all. Just fucking
come. It's got to be the acceptable equivalent of, I've got to write this letter. Yeah. I don't want to write it. Yeah. You don't want to read it. But we've got to do it. And here we are. Thanks very much. You're sincerely. Don't do it again. Yeah. That's it, isn't it?
Yeah. The kind of like, if you sort of like, when we all die and like the thing that's left behind will be that letter and not us. And the oral history of that situation will be more human and more kind of like understanding. But the admin is the only thing that's left behind. And it's very... It's very sort of like...
Well, do you reckon it'll be people who interpret that in 100 years to go, this is what school was like
exactly. In 2002? Exactly. And there were, you know, big summit meetings about this stuff. It's just like, it's not how kind of people work, I suppose, is it? So it's, yeah, it's a real shame.
You must have been guilty of this kind of thing yourself at school, Peter.
I don't remember ever finding pornographic stuff. I honestly don't think, when I was using computers back in the day, that there was a... I didn't think it was really out there, that sort of thing, to be honest, at the point in which I was...
What, even
of,
a little kind
I was
of...
in year eight.
Little pixelated JPEG.
Nah.
Took ages to load.
I was on the Olga.
What's that, pair of boobies?
I was on the Olga, the online guitar archive.
Oh, I used to use that all the time.
They just print out reams and reams of...
I used to do that all the time.
Guitar.
Did that turn into Ultimate Tab? Ultimate Tabs?
Yeah, probably. They probably used the same thing. Those tabs would have been written in like the fucking 90s, early 90s. And they sort of found their way, because it would have started as like a Usenet group or something. It would have started as an old CD or something. It's just amazing that that those things would have been adopted by the internet and could become part of something way bigger and way more commercial.
I've got beef with Ultimate Tabs.
Right.
Ultimate Guitar Tabs, whatever it's called. The quality control is really poor.
Right.
There's no, so you've got a system where you upload, so people will upload guitar tabs they've worked out for well-known songs, right?
Yeah.
Popular songs. And there'll be a star system on the side of each tab.
Yes.
There'll be those different versions. And obviously, generally speaking, if it gets a better mark, it's a better tab. Mm. But there are some in there that are so obviously wrong. And then they'll put at the bottom, and they've been up there for like 15 years. Mm. They'll put at the bottom, oh, if you've got any suggestions for improvements, just email me guitarlegend@hotmail.com.
Yeah, and that email has been used for years.
The amount of times, it's surprising to me, this is a really nerdy point, but it's surprising to me that if you sit there, put some music on, I want to play that song, and you work out the guitar tab next to the song, it's so obviously wrong. I don't understand why people are so arrogant to upload it.
Yeah, but I mean, but you think, but people are tone deaf, aren't they? So they think they're right. They think they're right.
They shouldn't be in. Listen, that's like saying people are shit at football. They're not playing the Premier League, are they?
They shouldn't be on the. This isn't Premier League football. This is having a kick around at the park. With me and five blocks from the Villanova WhatsApp group.
Villanova?
Yeah.
What's it called that?
I don't know. I think you found a Brazilian team from down.
Oh,
you down, know, in the, down in the leagues.
Speaking of that, you know that I remember I told you guys.
Very Sunday league, that, innit?
Yeah, big time.
Very Sunday league.
Do you remember I told everyone about that tour that my old football team went on?
Right.
They just stopped uploading Instagram pics.
Oh,
halfway through. I don't know what's annoying. Happened. I need to find out what went on. Because it feels like
there's an abandoned car.
People, they were really enthusiastic about it.
Oh,
and then it just stopped. Anyway, should we squeeze one more email in?
Yeah.
You do it.
All
it's
right.
The wedding ring.
Oh, actually, before we get the wedding ring.
We don't have an ad break?
No. We'll be back in a second.
Yeah, people aren't going to bother.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, it's Pete and Luke with The Chore. How are you doing? Before we get to our final email, this morning, hot day, taking Buckley, the 15-year-old dog, for a walk, and I realised that the little kind of like canister that's connected to the lead didn't have any
poo bags.
I was shit. He did a poo outside, just around the corner from my house, did a poo outside someone's house. I was like, shit, literally. Dragged Buckley back. I'd finish the walk and walk back, and then on my way to work, got on the old scoot, down the road, and my neighbour waved at me. Hello, Neil, on the corner. I went, hello, mate. And then he just saw me stop randomly in the street,
pick up a shit,
and then scoot off.
Just looking really like furtive.
I'm the poo stealer.
You
I'm spotting
the
a poo in
the scooter's exhaust.
Oh dear. It's not a good look, just stealing poos.
At least it wasn't dark.
At least it wasn't.
Because that would look
that
really odd.
Even worse.
But the poo thief.
Yeah.
Very good. This email you're about to read, Peter, has got a similar kind of vibe.
Poopies.
It's from Sadiq.
Thank you, Sadiq. Hi, Luke and Pete. Listening to the last episode where Pete mentioned the video of the sewage pipe reminded me of a story that happened to me that y'all might enjoy. First weekend in my new job at a big sports retailer. It was the morning shift and I urgently needed to take a shit. As it was my first week, I hadn't gotten the access card to bypass the locked door to get in the office and staff lounge where the staff toilets are, so I headed out to use the public toilet located outside of the building. Almost done doing the business, I decided I should take off my wedding ring before I wash my hands. So at this point, I'm still seated on the toilet, pants around my ankles. While removing the ring from my left hand, it slips. Clink, clink, bloop. It hit the toilet seat twice before falling at the toilet bowl. I took a minute to compose myself and figure out the next course of action. I decided the best way forward was to turn my phone flashlight on and see if I could get a glimpse of the ring, and then I'll figure out how to fish it out. As I stood up with my pants still around my ankles, mind you, my flashlight ready to shine at the ball, I heard the click of the automatic flush.
Killer! That's a stinker!
In the
literally.
Spur of the moment, and in blind panic, what my wife would have to say when I told her I lost my wedding ring in the crapper, I shot my arm into the ball, threw the literal shit, and managed to grab onto something solid. As I felt the rest of the sludge flush down the pipe, I was beyond relieved when I looked down and I was holding onto my wedding ring. A cautionary tale never to remove jewellery in precarious situations. Keep up the good work. I've got no batteries in my hand as I'm writing this email in my parked car, because my wife finds it very odd that a 30-year-old man writes emails to podcast shows.
Thank you, Sadiq. Right?
I guess, like, if you're... I don't wear jewellery because I'm not married, but they... If you put, like, a wedding ring on, like, surely you'd want to wash the wedding ring as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I wouldn't... So I don't take my wedding ring off to wash my hands.
Yeah, okay.
But when I get home, I'll take it off and put it in a little... tray thing.
Oh, do you?
Little jewellery tray, yeah.
Oh.
Because it's quite awkward having it on all the time, I think.
Right.
But then LC, my father-in-law, and my dad, they would literally never take theirs off.
Yeah.
So I think it depends. I find,
if I think about jewellery, I find it very oppressive whenever I start to think about it. This necklace has been all right, but like anything on the hands, I just can't.
Yeah, it does take a bit of getting used to. I think that just never take it off in public, because you're going to, it's one of those things. Things are going to happen to it. I mean, that's a particularly horrific version of that story, but I've heard so many people doing it. But I tell you what, on that note, this necklace here, me and my wife got for me ages ago. It's actually got a lot of sentimental value to me. Mm. And for reasons that I can't be asked to go into and no one will find interesting. But anyway, I lost it.
Right.
I was like gutted. I was fucking gutted about it. I like, genuinely really upset.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, and I didn't know where it had gone. And I spoke to loads of people who see me wearing it, and I tried to piece the story together. And I was like, I'm pretty sure I had it on in the morning when I left the house to come into work. But when I was on, I think I was doing a ramble, and I remember reaching for it, and it wasn't there. And I was like, fucking hell, what's happened? So I thought, what's happened is I must have lost it on the way to the train station, because I remember on the train having it on. Spoiler, I didn't have it on. but I thought I did. So I told my wife, and she's like, oh, this is a real shame. And she could see how upset I was. She started looking for replacement ones, all the rest of it. But she was really lovely about it. She was like, look, I'm going to try and find it for you. So she went onto the street WhatsApp group and sent a message around saying, look, it might have been dropped between our house and the train station, of which the majority of that walk is on our street.
Yeah.
So please keep your eye out for it. And all these people replying really lovely, saying, oh yeah, of course we will. And I said this image of people just looking out for it while they're walking their dog or going to work. About 5 minutes after that, I found it wrapped up in a pair of jeans.
Nice.
That
okay,
I obviously
cool.
thought I was going to wear
yeah.
and put back in the wardrobe, not worn, because maybe I put shorts on or something.
Right.
And I was like, oh, fucking hell. And I said to Mimi, look, this is what's happened. I've had it around my neck. I said, I'm going to front up to you.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I don't message the WhatsApp group? Because I've never once sent a message ever in the history of the group. So they're just going to think I'm a complete fucking moron.
Yeah.
That's my only contribution.
Yeah, so you're going to look like me in the morning, just looking around for shits.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Looking around the streets. Yeah.
So we compromised on me not fronting up on the WhatsApp group.
Could you not do like a little kind of vignette of you kind of in the street going, I found it.
Not really overacting.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you believe it?
Yeah. It's around this cat's neck. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, let's get out of it. That's it. We're done. We'll be back on Thursday.
Farewell.
Thank you very much indeed for listening. It's hello@lukeandpeteshow.com if you do want to email in. We are at Luke and Pete Show on the old social medias.
Cool.
Much thanks to producer Rory. Does all the hard yards. Thank you to everyone at Stack as well. And thank you, most importantly, for listening. And we will see you next time. Say goodbye, Peter.
Goodbye.
Goodbye from me as well.
The Luke and Pete Show is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over 3 glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.